the temperatures have been bouncing all over the place here. It seems like on Friday when we came in for our Friday afternoon program, I came into the studio wearing a short sleeve shirt and no jacket. And then yesterday it was snowing. It dropped from the mid-70s on Friday afternoon until, let's see, Friday night, I think, by the time I finally got home about midnight or so, I think it was down in the upper 20s, and it got cold pretty fast. So we had like a, what would that make us, about a 50-degree drop or 50-plus degree drop from Friday afternoon to late Friday night. And then, of course, never got very warm Saturday, just snow blowing around here a little bit here and there. And today, when the sun was out, it got up kind of nice. It wasn't bad at all, but it's still chilly out there. But that's to be expected. It's February, and we've still got the month of March to go to. And but the thing that I found interesting, I was talking about this at church today, when I went out to the car to get in the car for Bible study Friday night. And if you're in Northeastern Ohio, we have an informal Bible study every Friday night from 11 o'clock or from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. And it's very informal. People bring the questions and we just chat about, like we do on the radio, talk about current or the Bible, questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's word. And I got out of the car and I thought I heard something. I stopped for a moment, stood quietly, and sure enough, I could hear the spring peepers. Now, if you're not familiar with spring peepers, they're little frogs that come out, and they're the first frogs that come out in the spring, and they're basically like little tree frogs, and they come out, and they make this little sort of a pleasant peeping sound, hence the term spring peepers, and it was kind of nice to hear them. I had just heard somebody online saying that they were hearing them down in South Central Ohio about a week earlier. And so it's kind of neat to hear them. My cousin at church today said that she heard them at her house this past week, too. And my dad always said that his dad told him when he was growing up that when you hear the spring peepers, you expect three more freezes. So by my calculations, yesterday and today was freeze number one. So we got two more to go. It's supposed to warm up in Northeast Ohio this week a little bit and then get cold again next weekend. So maybe that'll be freeze number two. So however you look at it, spring is on the way. And if you're further south listening, the spring might have got to you by now. Some places it gets a lot earlier, especially down in Florida. But we're glad to have you with us tonight. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to talk about a few things here this evening. But as always, you can give us a call tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Let's go ahead and start our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. I would just thank you again that you've given us not only the opportunity, but also the means, and we just thank you for it. I just pray that you'd help us now to be a blessing, to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to be able to point people to Christ that need Christ as their Savior. Help us to encourage Christians in their walk with you, and just in all things that we do, help us to lift up Christ and give the glory and honor to you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, a number of things here's get into the program here this evening. I guess I do have to, I don't know if you call this bragging or I don't think you would call it boasting, but some people might call bragging boasting, I guess, or whatever. But as we've said, I pastor the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And there's a survey done of cities in Ohio. And like I said, I don't know if you call this bragging or not, but Richfield came to the top of the list on this survey. And the name of the survey is, "These are the 10 most boring cities in Ohio." And Richfield, Ohio topped it as the most boring city in Ohio. And so that makes me the pastor of the Boring Baptist Church. I guess. Anyway, I thought that was kind of neat. But yeah, Richfield, Ohio, right? The top of the list out of 400 cities surveyed. And let me give you the criteria here, because we looked at the criteria. We were talking about this at church. And I thought, hey, you know, I'm not upset about this. In fact, I like this here. And we got a phone call calling in. I'll get to you in just a moment. Let me give you the criteria real quick here. The percent of the population over 35, the greater that percentage, the more boring. The greater the percentage of households where you have married households in the community, the greater the percentage, the more boring. The higher the average age, the higher, the more boring. The percent of households with kids, the higher, the more boring. The percent of households with people over 65, the percentage higher, the higher the percentage, the more boring. And population density, the lower the population density, the more boring. And so as a consequence, Richfield Village with a population of 3,652, average age of 47.7, with 59.1% marriage households and 39.2% households with kids, makes it as the most boring city in Ohio. And I am happy to be pastor in the most boring place in Ohio. So I hope that thrills you as much as me. Well, we're going to get onto our calls here before I put everybody to sleep here, but we've got Tom calling in tonight. And Tom, welcome to the program.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hey, Tom, good to hear from you. And yeah. I know you grew up in the most boring town in Ohio, but you left.
I'm glad I did. It was a great place to be a kid.
But Richfield was great, wasn't it? You know, and I know you got a question, but I was going to say, I tell people, you know, think about it. There's a lot of times boring is good, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Listen,
I remember what it was like 50 years ago, and it was even more boring and better.
There were less people and more households with kids and all.
I think I knew about three quarters of the town back then.
Well, back then you either knew them or you were related to them.
Yeah,
because I remember growing up and for instance, your family was related to some of our neighbors who, you know, graduated. Some of them graduated with my dad. And, yeah, just up and down the road, everybody was related to somebody. You knew everybody.
Absolutely. And, I got a kind of a trivial question for
yes,
you
sir.
Here tonight. You were talking about the spring peepers.
Yes.
You know, the seasons, you know. And I'm just curious, I don't know if it'll be, you know, what's going to happen in the millennial kingdom when Christ sets up his rule for 1,000 years here.
Mm-hmm.
Or when he creates a new heaven and a new earth. You know, into further eternity, but do you think the seasons will always endure?
I believe that certainly during the millennial kingdom, I think we'll still have the seasons. Certainly during that time, I'm trying to think where that passage is about seed time and harvest. I think it is.
Yeah, because I know, like in Revelation, at chapter 20 or 21, it says the seas are no more.
Yeah, in the new heaven and earth.
I'm just wondering, you know, I don't think we're going to have gloomy weather when we're in the presence of the Lord. Do you?
You know, and it depends too on your outlook, because actually Friday night after our Bible study, we had some tremendous storms going through the area, and my wife and I, we were looking at the lightning and everything, and we were thinking, well, do you want to go home and fix something to eat, or or do you want to drive over? There's a place over Granger. I was thinking Sharon Center, out in Granger, and there's a little place out there where you could get sandwiches 24 hours a day, and I said, you want to drive out there and get something to eat where we can watch the storms go through, because
yeah.
It has a nice view looking out over Route 18 out toward the Medina County Airport, and so we drove out there in the midst of the storm just to watch the weather.
I like thunderstorms.
I do.
It's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, but You know, before, you know, when God created everything, there really there prior to the flood, there was no rain, right? Everything.
No, the Bible indicates that everything was watered with a mist that came up from the ground. I found the verse that I was looking for, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and night and day shall, or day and night shall not cease." Now, the passage here, to me, this answers the question, you know, is there going to be seasons, you know, during the millennium? Because this will be during the time of the present earth. The millennial kingdom will be on this present earth.
Right, and apparently the sea and everything will be, the land will be, you know, as we know it.
Yeah, there'll be some, because of the earthquakes and things that take place, the natural disasters and things during the tribulation period.
There'll probably be a calming of the weather, though, under the millennial kingdom.
It's hard to say, but, you know, the thing of it is, you know, a lot of things with the weather, like we were talking about liking thunderstorms, is somewhat attitudinal. The Bible talks about the people who lived during the millennial kingdom. You know, of course, the people who survived the tribulation, who were believers, they'll go into the millennium in the state that we're in today, you know, in a body with a sin nature like you and I have now, even though they'll be believers.
Right.
And those people will have children. And those children will be born with a sin nature, and those children will have to choose whether or not to accept Christ as their Savior. And during the millennium, it's clear by the time of the end of the millennium, when the devil's released out of the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, he raises up a vast multitude of people who try to rebel against God. And that's because people born during the millennium, not all of them are going to get saved. And the Bible talks about Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the places that will not send a representation, send a offering up to him during certain feasts and things, that he'll withhold the rain or something like that from them in their area. So there will be bad weather.
But we and all the resurrected righteous from all the ages past will be present here.
Yes, we'll be here too.
Right.
We return from heaven, and in Revelation 19, the armies of heaven return with him, and we will be here, but the nice thing, we won't have the sin nature.
But the resurrected dead are those under judgment. They will not be raised until the end of the millennial.
Correct. Yeah. And that's the ones who have not put their faith in Christ as their Savior or in the Messiah to come.
Yeah.
And they will come up at the end of the millennium to the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, and then they'll be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And it's at that time, after that there's the new heaven and the new earth. So that's why I said there's going to be, according to Genesis 8:22, when Noah and his family got off from the ark and they built the altar to the Lord, and they make their offering to the Lord, and God promises that he'll never destroy the earth with a flood again. And he reassures Noah and his family that there in verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So there's going to be the seasons, and this is while the earth remaineth. But then, of course, there's a new heaven and a new earth. This earth with its sin, Peter writes about how the elements melt with a fervent heat. And then there's the new heaven, new earth, like you said, no more sea. Then the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven.
Right.
And entering into eternity in the future, the eternal state. And at that time, I think the earth will be restored to what it was in the original creation, because in the original creation, and you know, the thing is, fossil evidence shows us that every place on earth, from the tropics, you know, the equatorial zones to the polar regions, that every place on earth has fossil remnants of tropical and subtropical plants.
Oh, and it's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And I know that people say, well, you know, Antarctica, of course, one time it was up in the tropic zone. The Earth's pole shifted and the climate or the continent shifted around. And there's some of that that did take place. But it is interesting that every part of the planet shows evidence of having had a tropical, semi-tropical environment. And under the right conditions, some planets can do that. Because look at the planet Venus. Because of the cloud cover that Venus has, Venus is very hot on the surface across the entire planet. Yes, it's a little closer to the sun, but Venus exists in what scientists call the Goldilocks zone, which is the zone where a planet orbiting its star could conceivably have liquid water and they believe support life. And so Venus is one of them, Earth is one of them, and Mars is one of them. And Mars, of course, shows evidence. Astronomers believe that Mars once had a great deal of surface water, and there's evidence of erosion from water on Mars. It's kind of ironic. A lot of astronomers and such believe that Mars was once suffered a global flood, though there's no evidence of all the water that would have been responsible for that today. And they theorize that it evaporated and went out into space. You know, Mars lost its water. There's still some locked in the soil and in the polar ice caps. But then Earth, where the Bible says had a global flood, and the fossils say and give abundant evidence that there was a global flood, they say, no, couldn't have been a global flood. The water's there.
It's amazing to me that we can have scientists today. I know there's a few that, you know, over the last 50 years or so, you know, that have come out with. One's a leading scientist. He's I can't think of his name, but he's the poor man is an invalid, I guess, but very intelligent man.
Oh, over in Britain, he holds the Isaac Newton chair. Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, this idea that, you know, we exploded into being from nothing. I mean, I don't understand how they can, deduce that kind of thinking. I really don't.
Well, you know, it goes back to what my professor in college at Colorado State University said. You know, after teaching a senior level class in forest biology, and I mentioned this on the program in the past, at the end of the semester, and keep in mind this was a senior level class in forest biology, and we've been talking about evolution of various ecological systems and things of that nature, because evolution is extended to more than just the evolution of particular organisms, particular plants and animals and such, but also to whole ecosystems. And even the astronomers have books out there talking about the evolution of stars, the evolution of solar system, the universe.
And really got us thinking that way, didn't he?
Here's what he said at the end of the course. He said at the end of the course, he said, I think it was the last day of class and we were all done, and he was sharing some of his candid opinions, and he said, listen, I believe in evolution because the only other alternative is special creation, and I don't want to believe that. So what he told us was that evolution for him was a faith-based system, is a system of belief. He said you can either believe in special creation or you can believe in evolution, and it's a choice. And he said, I have chosen to believe in evolution because I don't want to believe in special creation. And that reflects the late John Hunt, or Dave Hunt, rather, Dave Hunt, who made the statement that you either believe in, an all-powerful something with unlimited, or no, an eternal something with unlimited potential, or an eternal someone with unlimited power. Because you have to have a first cause. And there's a variety of logical proofs that show that you have to have a first cause. There's a variety of things in science, you know, the second law of thermodynamics, you know, we think about it basically as things going from order to disorder. The increase in entropy over time shows that the universe could not be eternal. It couldn't have been always existing, because we would have long ago reached the point of the highest amount of entropy in the universe, where we would be a cold, dark universe, incapable of doing or knowing anything. And also, if the universe, because it's expanding, had existed for too long, the universe would have expanded so far that we would not see any stars in the sky other than our own sun. And we would be ignorant of any other place in space, because simply we would be expanded too far away that the light would not have been able to reach us, and we would be ignorant of what was out there. Another thing, of course, looking at that, is that some people have said if the universe was eternal and always existing, and then some people have suggested the opposite end of it, that it would be, the light would be blinding, because the light of all the stars that we can't see right now, because they haven't got to us yet, would have gotten here by now. So the night sky would be perfectly white. It would be no different than the day sky. And so, you know, they got all these reasons that they come up with why the universe cannot be too old. It can't be eternal.
There's a passage in the Bible that says that, you know, I don't know exactly where it is, but it kind of goes like this, that, you know, mankind's ever seeking knowledge but never finding.
Ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Knowledge of the truth.
Yeah, Paul wrote that to Timothy.
So I'll close on this. I'm just going to say, you know what, their minds are probably, far away removed from mine, but thank God that the Spirit of God convinced me that by faith I can be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice.
Amen. And see, you just hit on something with that. That's the reason that some people, like my forest biology professor at Colorado State back in the early 80s, said that he didn't want to believe in special creation. Because if special creation is true, then that means there's a creator. And if there's a creator, he created you, and what's your relationship with him? See how that works?
Absolutely. Well, and this is how good our God is, because he gives us free will, doesn't he?
Exactly. And not only did he give us free will, he gave us evidence that is suggestive. You know, as I like to say, Psalm 19,
right.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. There's things that we can look at, whether you look with the most powerful telescope or the most powerful microscope or just with your own two eyes. You're going to see things that cannot be explained in any other way. In fact, we got just a couple minutes here. Let me see if I can find this quote here. Real quick, there's a quote where, and I'm going to probably run out of time trying to find it, but I just finished reading a book on In the Beginning Was Information. And it's a guy who's basically studied information theory and all that. It's a German book, guy that wrote it, he's an expert on information theory and all that. Of course, my computer doesn't want to cooperate when I'm trying to find something here, but that's the way it always goes. But basically, DNA is the most incredibly compacted, and I've talked about this on the program before, form of information storage that we know of. We can't even conceive of how it was conceived. And he's talking about how to have information sent and received. Information requires an intelligence to create it in the first place. We're not talking about organization like in a crystal lattice of a salt crystal or a snowflake. We're talking about information that codes stuff, that transmits a message that can be decoded and translated into action and things like that. And that's what we have in DNA. And one of the amazing things with DNA, it's a system based with four letters that form words of three letters each. And he pointed out in that this system is the most efficient from an engineering standpoint of containing the greatest amount of information coded into the smallest amount of material that can be copied and recopied with the greatest degree of accuracy of any other type of coding system that we know of. And that, of course, you know, just happened by chance. Just out of the blue, that came into being. Well, that's impossible for that to happen. And the other thing that he talked about, oh, here it is. Let's see, I've got about a minute left. I think I can read this. Here it is. I found it. This is another thing about DNA. DNA is structured in such a way that it can be replicated every time a cell divides in two. Each of the two daughter cells must have identically the same genetic information after the division and copying process. This replication is so precise it can be compared to 280 clerks copying the entire Bible sequentially, each one from the previous one, with at most one single letter being transposed erroneously in the entire copying process. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? And keep in mind, those 280 clerks, you know, you're one of them. You copy the Bible. I'm the next one. I copy it from you. My wife is the next one. She copies it from me down the line, 280. And they do that in 20 to 80 minutes.
That's amazing.
Amazing, isn't it? Hey, we serve an awesome God.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. I'm out of time this half, and stay tuned for another half hour.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. Our toll-free number, of course, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I just want to mention a couple of things here before we get back into our program. And of course, we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. And you can find them right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And let me let you know, if you're calling in, hang on there. We'll get to you in just a minute here. It's going to take us just a moment to get back onto the phones there. You can call us at you can contact East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you let them know that you heard about East Coast Pizza on Live with Pastor Al, mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. Also, even if you're not in the area, maybe you're somebody that would like to add pizza to an existing restaurant, or you're looking for a great pizza recipe to start your own pizza shop, you can contact East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a lot less than what you might think possible. And just one final note with that, just wanted to share one other thing there. If you're in the Garfield Heights, Ohio area, and you're looking for some part-time work, if you contact East Coast Pizza, they're looking for some people that have a car that can do some delivery. And that's the phone number again, 216-341-9100. You can find them at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can click on the link there to East Coast Pizza. And you can also check us out on our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, if you want to listen to past programs or if you want to learn more about us, and a number of things on there from time to time. It takes me a little while sometimes to keep up with everything there because, after all, I'm the one that puts it together, and I got other things I have to do from time to time, not the least of which is pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And if you're ever in the area, would love to have you stop in. Also, you can check out our Facebook page. We're on Facebook, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook, and you can like us on Facebook, follow us there. I probably keep more things on there, more active, just because it's easier to put things on quickly. And so I've got a number of things on there right now, especially if you're in Ohio. I've got information there about the Ohio Pastor Protection Act, House Bill 36. It's in committee right now. We've been talking about it. And pray for the passage of that act. It is possibly going to be voted out of committee, maybe as early as Tuesday. So by this week, it may be out of committee, may even be to a floor vote in the Ohio House by sometime later this week. And if it passes there, it'll be on the Ohio Senate. And then once it goes through committee and then the floor vote there, hopefully on to Governor Kasich's desk for a signature. And one thing I want to point out, if you check out the Ohio Constitution, and again, this is if you're in Ohio, the Ohio Constitution, Article 1, Section 7 specifically says at the end of the section there, religion, morality, and knowledge, however, being essential to good government, it shall be the duty of the General Assembly to pass suitable laws to protect every religious denomination in the peaceable enjoyment of its own mode of public worship. Talked about that at length on our Friday program this past Friday. You can listen to that program online. I've got it on Facebook right now. I don't have it on the webpage yet. But if you go to Facebook, livewithpastoral.com, you can click on the link for it there, and it will be on our other page, hopefully sometime tomorrow, on our regular webpage, livewithpastoral.com. Well, a little long on some of the announcements there this time, but we got a couple of callers calling in, waiting patiently for us, and you are listening to Live with Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is the phone number, and we've got Don calling in this evening. Don, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor. It's been a while since I spoke with you.
Good evening.
I was wondering, I'd say within the last year and a half, you touched on a discussion about extraterrestrials.
Yeah, we have talked about that in the past.
I was waiting. I listen to you every Sunday.
Oh, thank you.
I was waiting for that topic to come up again, and no one has called, so I figured I'd
there you go.
Forward a little bit. I was wondering what your theory was on that.
Well, it's very clear from Scripture that God created two types of what I call sentient beings. And actually, a few weeks ago, I think on our Friday afternoon program, I did touch it briefly. So, because we're on, if you're in the Northeast Ohio area, you can catch 1220 WHK. W1220 AM station, 1:30 until 2 o'clock. But that's on our website as well, liveatpastoral.com. I link them on there for people. People can't always get that program. But when we see God's creation, you know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and that's everything that's in it. He created. And so whether it's the animals and the plants that we see on the planet Earth, or the angels in heaven, or man himself, God created us. And out of all the things that God created, there's only two types of beings in the Bible that have a God awareness. And that's how I define the term a sentient being, because, you know, dolphins and gorillas and parrots and all are pretty smart. I mean, a lot of animals some are quite smart, quite intelligent. But, you know, the smartest dolphins out there have never expressed any kind of God awareness. And in a very rough sense, you look at the stages of creation, the first things he created was like forces and matter, which just exist. They have no awareness of anything. They just exist.
Is there an animal heaven?
you know, people come up with that question every once in a while. Are there animals in heaven? We know there's animals in the millennial kingdom. And somebody has suggested that if you want to, the presence of animals would give comfort and pleasure to people in heaven, why wouldn't God have them there? But certainly the new heaven and the new earth, the new earth that I was talking about with our caller in the first half hour, there's going to be animals there in the new earth, that's for sure. And that's an eternal earth that'll be recreated to be like that of the originally created earth. And you won't have the danger and everything. And even during the millennial kingdom, there's indication that some of the danger in the animal kingdom will be gone. It talks about the child playing, you know, where the den of the asp or the cockatrice is, and not having any danger. And the ox and the lamb and the wolf and the lion and the sheep and all that lying together and things. But getting back to your question about the alien beings and all, you know, when God created the plants and everything, you know, these are things that have a greater awareness of their environment, because plants will grow towards light, they'll grow towards, you know, water, and they'll react to certain things in their environment. And then you see animals created, and animals have a great deal of not only awareness of themselves or of their environment, but also themselves and those around them. You know, because a dog certainly knows when his owner comes in, doesn't he? The tail starts to wag, you know, and he's jumping all down all around, happy to see him. You know, our cat knows when my wife comes home from work, because, you know, she'll say, "Boy, haven't you paid any attention to this cat since you've been home?" Because it's all over me when I come in, and it's all over her when she comes in. They have awareness of themselves and those around them. But none of them have a God awareness. The only beings created with a God awareness are angels and humans, angelic beings and human beings. And in the angelic beings, the Bible teaches us that Lucifer, his heart lifted up with pride, he rebelled against God, and he fell from his high holy position, and he became the twisted creature that we refer to as the devil or Satan today. And the Bible indicates also that about a third of the angels also rebelled against God with him, and they became twisted evil creatures that we call devils or demons today, fallen angels, unclean spirits, all the same. And so we have those existing along with people. Now, when you get to the idea of extraterrestrial life, we have to define that as well. They had that star, and I can't think of the name off the top of my head of the name of the star system, but seven planets they say that they discovered that are roughly Earth size, three of which exist in what they call the Goldilocks zone, where it could have liquid water on the surface of the planet. And just like I was saying previously about Venus, Earth, and Mars, are three planets in our solar system in the Goldilocks zone where they can have liquid water present. And so as a consequence, there's speculation, could there be life on one or more of these three planets? Just like there's questions, could there be or have been life on Mars, for instance, things like that. And this kind of differentiates me from some Bible-believing creationists. I think there could be some form of life form on other planets. And by that, I mean things like some kind of plant or animal life, but not sentient life.
Like, you know, the stories you hear of Betty and Barney Hill back in
the day. Now that's where I'm coming to. The story of Betty and Barney Hill, what most people don't realize is they were involved in occultic practices. And every time you have a surge in occultic activity, you know, a surge of interest in the occult, seances, fortune telling, you know, that surges in an area, when you see these areas where they have increased UFO activity, it generally, and not all the time, but very frequently follows a surge in occultic activity and interest in that area. And specifically, people who become interested in the occult are the people who are likely to become involved in some of this UFO sightings or even visitations. Now, here's the thing. Every UFO investigator really basically knows this but won't admit it publicly, and there's some books that have been written on the subject by both Christian UFO investigators and non-Christian UFO investigators that tell us that, the standard line is that when people like the Betty and Barney Hill case, where they were driving along and then they had this period where they didn't know what was going on, and under hypnosis, they, you know, their car stalled out and these aliens took them out of their car, took them on the spaceship and did experiments and stuff on them. And you know, the story without going into all of it right here real quick. But what happened or happens is that they say that you're powerless to stop the encounter once it begins. You know, there'll be people who will be in bed and they're green flashing lights or something, and then they'll look up and they'll see these short creature, gray creatures with sort of large head and bulbous eyes walking around the bed, and they levitate them out of their bed and out across the lawn into some spaceship, and they do experiments on them. And you're powerless to stop it. Nobody can resist it. Nobody can stop it. But what all these investigators know, and very few of them will admit to, actually on my webpage, livewithpastoral.com, I have at least one book on this subject that deals with this listed, a Christian author. There's also a secular author who admitted to this as well, I think by the name of Redfern, something like that. But they say the only time these things ever are stopped is when somebody calls out in Jesus' name, something like Jesus save me, or in the name of Jesus stop. And one case in particular, this woman was surrounded by these aliens who were levitating her out of her bed. They had the lights and all that, and gray aliens and all that. She was off in the spaceship, and they started these experiments, and she said something along the lines of, in the name of Jesus, stop, and said all of a sudden she woke up she sat bolt upright in her bed. Now, keep in mind, she thought she was in an alien spaceship having experiments done to her. She woke up in her bed and she shook her husband, who was asleep next to her, and said, and woke him up. And he said, you've been here the whole time. See, it was all in her head. And this kind of tied in with the increase in occultic activity, the fact that they don't like the name of Jesus. What's that?
Travis Walton, they had that movie Fire in the Sky.
Yes, yeah. There's a number of these things.
Now he has six witnesses.
Yeah, but what I'm, and for time's sake, because unfortunately we don't have all that much time. Yeah. I got two more callers waiting yet. Okay. But for time's sake, what I'm getting at is the common denominator here is this stuff tends to take place either in an area where there's an increase in occultic activity, or the people involved are often involved in occultic activity. The aliens, if they express any thoughts about religion in general, everything's okay except for that Christianity. That's just terrible stuff. You don't want to be, that's holding your species back. And they can't stand the name of Jesus Christ for some reason. Now, you know, the old expression, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck. What beings do we find in the Bible that can't stand the name of Jesus, that tell people not to listen to Jesus? It's the fallen angels, and they're false spirits masquerading. They have the ability to present themselves. They have the ability to cause people to either think or to see things that they interpret as beings from another planet. A lot of these alien encounters, a lot of people in the UFO community believe that they're actually interdimensional beings, because they'll appear on radar and then just disappear. They'll appear in the sky and then just disappear, like they're traveling between dimensions. All of this suggests aliens are actually fallen angels masquerading because they don't like the name of Jesus Christ. They don't want people following Christianity. They're trying to destroy people's faith in the Bible and any number of things. Like I said, there's some great information out there on that. If I can find the name of the book here before the program ends, I'll try and give out the name of that book.
I know you're running out of time, and I know there's other callers.
Yeah.
One thing I'd like to say about Travis Walton, though, I know a good friend, well, actually he's my neighbor, that knows Travis Walton.
Okay.
And even Travis Walton told him, he says, actually what happened, he thinks that he died. He got killed.
Yeah.
They brought him up on a ship for 5 days, brought him back to life.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. No doubt that he thinks that. No doubt that he thinks that. But my position, again, is that their purpose is to fool and to deceive. Remember, the devil is a deceiver. And we'll have to probably let it go at that, because I do have somebody else.
You got more.
Yeah, to get on that. Well, I lost one of my callers, but I'll get to the other.
To you.
But we'll talk about it some more, I'm sure, over time. And
every Sunday, 11 o'clock.
Yeah, keep listening, and as soon as I can find the name of that book, I'll try to interrupt myself and give the name of that book here on the air, because you should get a hold of it and read it, especially, you know, knowing what you know about the situation with that particular individual and all. You would enjoy reading this book. You would
sure
profit from it. And but thanks for bringing that up. And again, like I said, I'll have to leave it at that. I believe that the ones that can't be explained by mistaken, you know, things that they don't know what they're seeing, you know, research aircraft, secret aircraft, things like that, misunderstanding what they're looking at. There are some things that can't be explained through natural processes, and I believe that the demonic explanation is the one that fits all the criteria. Here it is, Alien Intrusion, UFOs and the Evolution Connection by Gary Bates, B-A-T-E-S, Alien Intrusion, Alien Intrusion by Gary Bates, and there's a tremendous analysis of the UFO phenomena in light of God's Word there, so I highly recommend that, and I think he even has some videos online. So thanks for the call there, Don. Appreciate
that.
And
talking to you again.
God bless. And keep asking those questions. So I appreciate that. We've got Jeremiah calling in. Jeremiah, we've got a few minutes. And thanks for calling tonight, Jeremiah.
Yes, is this the Twilight Zone?
No, you've come to coast, what's an Alberta Clipper racing across a lake called Erie, crashing into a valley of the Twisted River, the Cuyahoga. So if you're calling from east of the Cuyahoga tonight, you can call. Or for those of you west of the Cuyahoga.
It's like trying
not
to find
that I've ever listened to that program, mind you, but go ahead.
It's like trying to find Bigfoot. They believe there's a Bigfoot out there, and they have to capture it and kill it and take DNA from it to verify that there is a Sasquatch.
Yeah, and, you know,
talking about aliens.
Yeah, but when you look at aliens there, I was going to say the thing there is, like I was telling the caller, the devil has a vested interest in trying to confuse people and deceive people. And that's what the first thing he did in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 is he appeared in a form other than himself, in the form of a serpent, and he deceived Eve and caused her to doubt God's word. And that's what these aliens are doing. The cases that can't be explained away by natural things or, you know, mistaken views, I think the best and certainly the most biblical explanation, and it fits all the cases, as I've actually been following a lot of the UFO literature, not as much lately as I did when I was younger, but I've been following it since the 1970s. And so I, you know, familiar with especially some of the older stuff, but that biblical explanation really, really explains everything I've ever read. So go ahead.
The aliens are not from the demons.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Demonic. Yeah. Sometimes it's just imagine. And that can happen. You know, people imagine things from time to time, but there's a certain small percentage of things that aren't imagined. People experience things that can't be explained, and the devil has that ability to deceive people. And the purpose, people say, well, why would he do that? Well, the purpose is to try and get you to not believe the Bible. Why is it that they don't have a problem with the religion of Islam or with Hinduism or with any of the New Age religions? The only religion they have a problem with is Christianity, basically. They don't like Judaism too much either, but that's what Christianity comes out of.
So. How do you feel about, speaking of New Age, how do you feel about Houston, this Pastor Houston on Hillsong? He has a television program that used to be a church channel, well, now it's the Hillsong channel. It's Pastor Houston.
I'm not really familiar with him. You said Hillsong?
Yeah, it's a group called Hillsong United.
Oh, is that a singing group?
Yes, a singing group.
Oh, it's a singing group. And now he's got some church or something? Hillsong United,
yeah,
he's
said? Pastor. Yeah, he's a pastor of a church, and he has his own program on satellite.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just not familiar with it. So I really can't comment on that. I'm just not familiar with them.
Because I think I heard somewhere that he might be New Age religion.
I really couldn't tell you. I'm just not familiar with him. I'd have to say I know a little bit about a lot of things, but when it comes to music, if there's one subject that I probably know less about than sports, it's probably music. I am not a big music person, and I'm not a big sports person. So I probably know more about sports than I do about music. I do know that music can be certainly misused quite well. Maybe that's not the right way to say it. Quite effectively, music can be used because, see, everybody can remember the Special Sauce song if you're young enough to remember those, or old enough to remember those commercials, or the plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. You know, these jingles that commercials have had in the past, we can remember the words to those things. And how many people memorized, you know, the presidents or the periodic table by putting it to a song. So music has an amazing power. And that's why, you know, we have to be careful sometimes with music, because music has a way of carrying words and ideas into the very soul without us thinking about it much, and then sticking it there, because everybody's got what they call an earworm every once in a while, that song that just you can't get it out of your head. And apologize, Jeremiah, we're out of time talking about that, but yeah, I'll have to look up that guy. But thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286.
or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.